Before we get started with the Word this morning, I want to remind you, coming up on January 16th through the 22nd, Foundation for Life is going to be taking out a full-page ad in six area newspapers. And what this ad is to do is to commemorate what took place 44 years ago, because it was 44 years ago that the Supreme Court ruled with Roe versus Wade, that there is no longer, they took away the sanctity of life of the unborn. And with these ads, what we're asking you to do is just put your name. You know, one of the great things, I love history. And one of the greatest documents in our nation is the Declaration of Independence. And when you think of the Declaration of Independence, what do you think of? You think of John Hancock. Because he put his signature on that document so big that everybody could see it. Every single person who put their names on that document, they were putting their lives at risk, because if that revolution failed, they could all forfeit their lives. Their lives would be given up as traitors. But they boldly put their names there. You know, when we think about it, it's been 44 years, and we talk about abortion and the horror of it. But you know what? Just thinking about abortion, every time we even mention that, it should cause our souls to shudder at what our nation has done over 44 years. And those precious creations that Jesus made that were snuffed out, in the same way that those men 200 years plus years ago boldly put their names on that document, we should put our name. And that's what this is. Ed's going to be collecting more signatures. Put your voice to the voiceless. Put your name boldly so that people, the world, can see, this is what I stand for, and this is what I believe, and this I will not tolerate as a believer in Jesus Christ. So Ed's going to be back there. Please, if you didn't sign up before, please just put your signature on there so your name can boldly be shown to the world of what we believe and of what we stand for and what we will not accept or tolerate. Amen? Amen. So last week, we began to look at the often misunderstood role of the steward. It is a humble honor, and thank you for both of those words that were given. Donna started to laugh as Diane gave her word, and then I laughed as Donna gave hers, in a good way, because it just strikes my soul, my spirit, with such joy when I hear, because no knowledge as to what I'm speaking on, but remember and hear the words. And Donna always takes the words and she puts them on, email, so she'll send that out. But after you hear this message, go back and listen to both of those words and just see how faithful Jesus is and what he shares, what the Holy Spirit shares with us. So it is a humbling to realize the honor that we have to be given stewardship over that which belongs to God. Think about that. You and I have been given stewardship over things that belong to Jesus Christ. That is a humble honor. Now, a little background is helpful. We all understand that we have come from death to life through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have been bought. We've been purchased at the price of his blood. When I accepted his gift of salvation, I willingly gave this life. I willingly gave my life back to him, back to the one who created it. Willingly gave that life back. When you realize how undeserving we are of being stewardship of anything, you realize what a great and tremendous honor it is. And yet Jesus, in his infinite love, has graciously made me the steward over my life, which I have done nothing to deserve that. He's graciously made me the steward over this life and everything that pertains to this life. I am now entrusted with managing this house, this temple of the Holy Spirit, undeserved. And yet, what an honor it is. So last week, we also learned a definition for stewardship. And we saw that stewardship, to be a steward, means to be a household manager. And we saw that in most of the times that it's used, it actually is, in general, speaking about a slave that has been released from forced legal servitude. So just think about that for a second. A steward, which is what we are, A steward is a slave who's been released from forced legal servitude. That is exactly what we are. That's a picture of you and I in Jesus Christ. We've been set free of the bondage of slavery that came about because of sin. We've been set free of that. So now we can manage this house, and we can manage everything that comes with this life. What a humbling honor that is for us. Now, one of the things I didn't look at last week, but it's helpful to understand. In the Greek, the word stewardship has a secondary meaning, and that meaning reflects a dispensation. What's a dispensation? A dispensation is a special period of time management. Think about that. A special period of time management. So with what we're talking about today as being stewards, here's what that means for you and I. A special period of time management. From the day of your salvation until the day that we leave these bodies, we have been granted by God a dispensation, a special period of time management where we are entrusted from the day of salvation to the day we leave these bodies. We've been entrusted to manage His resources that He has given to us. This is what it is to be a steward. Now, the more that Jesus finds me faithfully managing the resources that He's given to me, guess what? The more He's going to entrust, the more He's going to release into my stewardship. I want to be a wise steward over everything that Jesus has entrusted to me. And that works out really well because, and this is important, Jesus wants, He desires to entrust more to each one of us. It is what His desire is. I want to be a wise steward so He can entrust more to me, and He wants, He desires to entrust more of what He's planned for each one of us. It's what He wants to do. He's waiting for me to show that I'm a wise steward over everything from this life and everything that pertains to this life. I am a wise steward for Him. Now, we also saw last week that we've been given stewardship. Stewardship are the things He's entrusted to us in this natural world, and stewardship are the things He's entrusted to us from the spiritual realm as well. So those natural things, the things He's entrusted to us include our life, our marriage, our money, our children, our houses, our cars, all these things that He has given us that we have control over. It doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Him, but He's allowed me to be the steward over those things. I intend and I need to be a wise steward. And as I'm a wise steward over those things, guess what? He's going to release more into my stewardship. From the spiritual realm, we saw last week that He has also entrusted to us stewardship of the revelation, the understanding of His Word. He's given you and I as believers understanding of His Word. And we are entrusted to manage that understanding and to use it in our lives and to impart that to others as well. And He's given us understanding of the deeper spiritual things. We have the mind of Jesus Christ. These are the things that He has imparted to us to be stewards over. But there's another element of stewardship for us to consider. That's what we looked at last week. Here's another thing for us to consider. Because there is another additional resource that Jesus has imparted to each one of us. There's something else He's given that He has released in each one of us. And as we know that and as we understand what that is, it should stir anticipation. It should stir excitement within each one of us. Because look at what else Jesus has given to us to manage wisely and powerfully into His glory. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. And I want you to look this up because I want you to see this in your Bible. I'm going to show it here in the New King James. I'm going to show it again in just a few moments in the Amplified. But I want you to see it in your Bible and read it there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So Jesus has imparted into each one of us a gift. He's imparted into each one of us a gift that is to be used to minister His truth, His freedom, and His love to others. It is a gift that Jesus has imparted to each one of us through His grace. And we are called to be wise stewards of that specific gift that he has given and imparted to us. So this leads to a natural two questions we need to ask ourselves. First of all, what is that gift that he has imparted into me? What is the gift that he's given me? It could be almost anything. It could be a gift of encouragement. You know, maybe it's a gift of prayer. Maybe it's just a gift of joy and bringing joy into the hearts and lives of others. It could be a gift of organization. It could be a gift of service as you give your time and just your efforts to other people. It could be a gift of discernment. It could be a gift of prophecy. It could be a gift of prayer, of singing, of praise, whatever it is. The gifts are as unique as you and I are. But we need to know, identify, and understand what is that gift, that talent that Jesus has imparted to us. And then the next question is, am I being a wise steward over that gift? In other words, am I using that gift that Jesus has imparted unto me, that he has given me stewardship of? Am I being a wise steward of it? Am I using that gift to glorify him and to impact and to change the lives of the people around me? That's what I'm called to do. He's entrusted this to us. He's given us stewardship. It is a humble honor to be given stewardship of something that belongs to God. And yet he's entrusted it into each one of us. Now let's look at that same verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. But this time I want you to see it in the Amplified Bible. As each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious, divine endowment, employ it for one another as benefits good trustees, in other words, stewards, as benefits good trustees of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. That is a lot, but there is so much that's in there. God has entrusted into your stewardship something specific. Think about this. Realize that Jesus has given something unique to you, a particular gift, a specific spiritual talent that is given to you by his grace, which means it is totally undeserved. And yet Jesus has personally chosen that gift for you. And he has bestowed it upon you. So Jesus, totally undeserved, Jesus has personally chosen a gift for you and bestowed it upon you so that you could use it to bring glory to his name. It is a gift that represents his varied graces. That implies it is a gift that is tailored to the unique creation of you. Jesus has designed you to utilize this gift as only you can, in a way that no one else can, because it operates through his individual creation of you. Do you see how special that is? Do you see how personal it is? Because he's the one who created you. He knows who you are. And he's given you a gift, an individual talent. And he said, steward it, use it. Use it to glorify me as only you can. Now, some of us may have similar gifts and talents, but they are each one distinctive because Jesus has imparted that gift or that talent. He's imparted it to be managed by uniquely different people. It can be the same or similar talent, but it's going to be different in its manifestation because it's different as it comes through me as opposed to how it was come through you. This is how personal and unique that gift is that Jesus has entrusted into each one of us to steward and to take care of and to utilize. Now, when we read that in that verse, when we read the phrase that says many-sided grace, in other versions, that actually reads as, and I love this, it reads as many-colored grace. Jesus has given you a particular spiritual talent that when colored through you will accomplish his will as it can only be accomplished through you, not through someone else. Now, here's the illustration. We've all seen You know what I'm talking about when I say a color wheel, a light shining through a color wheel? We have a picture of it in case you haven't. But just picture, think about this, a light that is shining through a color wheel. See, the light is the same light. It is just plain white light. But as that color wheel spins and a different color gel comes through, it's the same light. But the results are different because that light is shining through a different color. Well, this is exactly what's happening with you and I. Because you and I, we have, Jesus is that pure light. And he shines through us. And whatever that gift is, whatever that talent is, it shines uniquely through you. It can be similar to the talent that someone else has, but it's different because it's shining through you. In the same way the light shines through those colors in the color wheel, well, it's not just those four primary colors. You know, for Jesus and the talents he's given to us, it's as varied, the colors are as varied as you and I. Now, I can give you an example of why, and I believe this, and it's a great story, but I don't have time this morning. I can show you why. I know that in our perception, in this natural world, we only perceive certain colors. But in the spiritual realm, we are unfettered, and we're going to see the colors are far more than what you and I realize here in this natural life. So each of these colors, when that light of Jesus shines through you, it's through the individual color of you. It's going to have different results because it's shining through you. It is the personal talent and gift that he has given you stewardship over. And it's going to look different because it comes through you. Now, I'm just going to tell you, my color, it's going to be a combination of blue, purple, and orange. I know that sounds really hideous, but that's because you're thinking about it in the natural realm. When you see it in the spiritual realm, it's going to be beautiful because blue is a beautiful color. Purple, it is fun, right? Mia, fun, right? Orange is happy. So when all those colors are mixed together, it's going to be beautiful. Know that you have an individual color. It's his light shining through you. And so it's his light shining through you. He's given you stewardship over that gift. But it's imperative that each one of us operate and are stewards over that gift because it's different than the gift that comes through anybody else. Amen? So understand that the gift was imparted to you by Jesus, but the gift is also empowered through you by Jesus. You see, the same gift employed through a different vessel is going to manifest differently, just like that light coming through that color wheel. The same gift through someone else is going to manifest differently, but it's going to manifest according to the purpose and to the plan and to the glory of Jesus Christ, because every gift is given by Jesus Christ and every gift is empowered by Jesus Christ. So, even though the gifts may be similar in some ways, they're different in their purpose. And as a result, the results come out varied and different, but they come out according to the plan and according to the purpose of Jesus Christ through the one that he's given stewardship of that to, that gift to. So someone else having the same gift cannot accomplish what Jesus has intended and purposed to come through you. Because it's going to be colored differently through them. See, if I say, well, someone else has that same gift and talent, so it's not really imperative what I do. No. Because that same gift and talent is going to shine differently. It is going to come differently. It's going to be colored differently. He's given you a gift and a talent, and it must be colored through you. It is imperative that we understand that Jesus wants to accomplish his will and his purpose through you. His purposes can only be accomplished. This is how imperative your role is, your stewardship is. His purposes, his spiritual plan can only be accomplished through you because he has specific gifts and talents that he is tailored to you and must be used through you. So you matter to his purpose and his plan. You matter to those plans. And because of that, your stewardship, the stewardship that you have over those gifts, those matter as well. Wisely manage those gifts, that specific spiritual talent that Jesus has given to you. Wisely manage it, because that gift and that talent, It is a part of his spiritual plan. He needs you. He needs me to do our part, to be a wise steward over what he's entrusted to us. Now, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, the word, when we look at that verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the word that we read there as gift, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, this is what that word means, and I want you to see it. I don't want you to just hear it. I want you to hear it. I want you to see it. Talking about the gift that has been given and entrusted to you. It means extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. That's the gift that has been imparted to you. That's the spiritual talent and the power of that talent that he wants to shine through the individual and unique color of you. Now, in other Greek word studies, the word gift also means this. I love this first phrase. Grace gift divinely empowers the believer to share God's work with others, i.e., Spirit-empowered service to the church to carry out his plan for his people. You and I have been given stewardship over divinely empowered gift, a gift that is to be used as only you can use it to advance his kingdom and to minister to each other as we minister to the body of Christ. Now, having this knowledge and having the understanding of what's being spoken of here, having that knowledge should cause me to be anxious to utilize and to manage that grace gift. I want to be a wise steward over everything that Jesus has entrusted to me so that Jesus can entrust more to me because Jesus wants to entrust more to each one of us. He wants each one of us to be managing everything he has planned for us individually to manage in these lives. Now, there's a lot more that we can, and we will probably next week. There's a lot more that we can learn about stewardship as we continue to look at the New Testament. But to better understand what it is to be a wise steward, we can also learn from an example in the Old Testament. So I want us to go and look at the book of, and I want you to look this up. This is in Genesis chapter 24, because we're going to spend a lot of time in Genesis chapter 24 this morning. I'd read it to you, but it's like 67 verses long. So it's more than we can read this morning. But here's what's taking place. In Genesis chapter 24, we find Abraham. And Abraham is seeking a wife for his son of promise, Isaac. Now Abraham wants his son Isaac to not marry a Canaanite woman. So Abraham decides to entrust to his most trustworthy and oldest servant. He entrusts to him. He's going to give him the responsibility of going back to Abraham's homeland and finding for Abraham's son Isaac a wife that is from Abraham's people and from his blood. Now, in chapter 24, you don't see his name, but we know from Genesis chapter 15 the name of this steward, this wise, faithful steward. We know his name is Eliezer. So I'm going to refer to him as Eliezer. I would encourage you, read through Genesis chapter 24. It is 67 verses. But read through because there is so much great context that's there, and there's so much great things that shows us exactly what it is to be a wise steward and how we can be wise stewards and the qualities of being a wise steward. So covenanting, so here's Eliezer. He covenants with Abraham to do his master's will. And once he covenants to do his will, Eliezer is given and entrusted to take a huge amount of Abraham's wealth with him. And he takes many camels, and he takes much of the treasure with him on this journey. Now, as you would read through the rest of Genesis chapter 24, you see how the story unfolds. And we see that Eliezer, he arrives, he finds Rebekah, he wins Rebekah, he wins the support of Rebekah's family, and he brings Rebekah back to marry Isaac. Eliezer, he had to travel upwards of 600 miles to fulfill this which was entrusted to him, to accomplish this task which Abraham had entrusted to him. 600 miles back then through the wilderness, that is a task. And he is taking with him a good chunk of Abraham's wealth with him. Through this man, we see so many qualities of the good, wise, faithful steward. Qualities that we can adopt so that as faithful stewards, Jesus can entrust more to us. So as I read through this entire chapter, in reading through it, I identified 14 different qualities of a wise steward. Now again, don't have time to go through all 14 today, but I wanted to highlight a few of them. But I really encourage you. I mean, if last week's message and this week, if it speaks to you, and you want to learn how to become a wise and faithful steward so that he can entrust more to you, read through that and see the example. And the Holy Spirit will show you probably even different qualities than he showed me. But you will see the different qualities that come from being a wise steward. So, here's the first quality of a wise steward, of a good and wise steward. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is rewarded. Faithfulness is rewarded with stewardship over all. We read this in verse number 2. So look at verse number 2. Genesis chapter 24. So Abraham said to the oldest servant in his house who had ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. So he's saying, make a covenant with me. So here is Eliezer. It's a hard name to say. So here is Eliezer. He's making this covenant. Eliezer is the oldest servant and the most trusted. But he's the oldest servant that Abraham has. And so as the oldest servant, he has served faithfully to Abraham for years and years. In fact, he's a fascinating character. So faithful is this man that if you go back and you read earlier, you will see that before Abraham received Isaac, one of the things that Abraham said to God is, listen, if you don't give me a seed, everything that I have is going to go to Eliezer. That's how trusted he was. So this is a man that has been trusted and has been faithful for years. Here's the result of all those years of faithfulness of Eliezer to Abraham. He's entrusted with stewardship, not over some, not even over most. He's entrusted, because of his faithfulness, he's entrusted with all that Abraham had. He is given stewardship over all, everything that Abraham has. Be a wise steward over what you have in Jesus Christ. Be a wise steward, and Jesus is going to give you stewardship of more. He's going to entrust you with all that he has planned for your life. I don't know about you, but when this life is done, I don't want to hear Jesus say, hey, look, I was going to entrust you this much more, but I could only entrust you this. I want to be a wise steward over everything that he has planned to entrust to me. I want to be a wise steward over everything, and he wants to make me a wise steward over everything that he has planned for me. Here's the second quality of a wise, faithful, good steward. The good steward makes his master's will his will. So Eliezer, when he finally arrives in Mesopotamia, how does he find out? How does he find that one woman out of all the women who are there? How does he find the one woman that God has planned to become the son of, or the wife of Abraham's son Isaac? The good steward is concerned with only the will of the master and gives no thought to his own will. This is an important quality of stewardship. Make the master's will your will, subjecting all of your will underneath. Don't even worry about your will. Listen to what it says in verses 11 and 12. And he made his camels. So this is just after he arrives. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham. He's not thinking about himself at all. All he cares about is his master. Make your master all that you care about. Oh, Lord, my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. He's not concerned with his will at all. All he cares about is making his master's will his will. This is the example that is set for us. This is one of the qualities of being a good steward. Eliezer was asked to travel a grueling distance for that time. I mean, imagine going through the wilderness 600 miles. And he was entrusted with the task of finding a wife for his master's son. He was given no plan as to how to accomplish this. And he knew no one when he arrives. Now, the average person today would say, how can I be expected to accomplish this? But concerned with only his master's will, you find that Eliezer offers no words of complaint, no words of doubt. His only focus is on the will of the master, and he entrusts the Lord. Look, Jesus Christ has given each one of us a gift and a goal that comes with that gift. My only objective should be to accomplish his will. I was going to say, someone needs to say amen. My only goal should be to accomplish his will. Instead of worrying, listen to this, instead of worrying about how to do what he's told me to do, instead of worrying about that, I only need to think about what is his will. And then I only need to manage the resources that he's given me according to his will. Then he will take care of everything else. Make sense? You know what? This is exactly what we learned all through last year. The duty is mine. The results are his. That is good stewardship. That's being a wise, good, and faithful steward over what Jesus Christ has entrusted to us. Everything is entrusted, including that unique and individual talent, gift that he's given to you. And you know what? I'm not going to limit that, because I believe as I utilize that gift and that talent, he's going to give me more gifts and talents. Because he will find me a trustworthy steward of what he has entrusted to me already. So here's the third quality of a good, wise, faithful steward. Praise. Throughout this entire story, you're going to find all throughout this entire account, it doesn't matter how things appear, it doesn't even matter what's happening. You're going to find that throughout this account, constantly, Eliezer is constantly blessing the Lord from a thankful heart. We see an example of this in verse number 27. I'm going to show you this in the Amplified Bible. Genesis 24, 27. And said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not left my master bereft and destitute of his loving kindness and steadfastness. As for me, going on the way of obedience and faith, the Lord led me to the house of my master's kinsman. Time and again, you see him saying, bless the Lord. Even at one point, you see him down on his knees, blessing the Lord. Because he sees, he's praising God for his faithfulness, regardless of what he sees, and no matter how impossible the situation seems. Because again, his only responsibility is not to worry about how to do what the Lord told him to do. My responsibility, his responsibility, is just to do the master's will. My responsibility is just to do the master's will and to use what he's given me according to his will, and he will take care of the rest. We worry and we stress over things that all we have to do is choose to do his will and to praise him, to be faithful, to make his will my will, and to praise him. There's so many times in our lives that things look contrary to what we think we're called to do. And when they look contrary, let's be honest, how often do we say, thank you, Jesus, bless the Lord. The circumstances don't match what you told me to do. Bless the Lord. And yet this is the example that we see. Because it's not up to us to worry about what he's told us to do. We just need to be faithful to do. So faithful, make the master's will your will, and praise. Now as the story continues, I got one more I'm going to show you today. Again, there was 14. I'm just going to show you these four today. But as the story continues on, we see that Eliezer Eliezer. We see that Eliezer, as the story continues, he talks with and speaks to Rebecca. And he presents gifts to Rebecca. And then Rebecca brings the servant, the steward, back to her family. Now, Eliezer, now he has to win the support of her family to take her back with him to marry Abraham's son. And remember this, Abraham left this land and left these people many, many years ago. I don't know how they feel about Abraham. And I also know this, they have to know that if they agree to this, they will probably never see Rebecca again. That is a lot that he has to accomplish. That is a lot that his master has given him stewardship over. It is a lot that he has to do. And yet he is faithful to do what he was called to do. He's faithful to continue in what he has been given, the responsibilities that he's been given to do. So he speaks to Rebecca. He does bring her back. So here's the fourth quality. Here's the final quality I'm going to look at today. Eliezer makes a priority of God's will. Now, it sounds the same, but it's not the same thing as making the master's will your will. It's one thing to make the master's will your will, but it's something else to make the master's will a priority above all else, above everything else. And this is the example that we see from this steward, this wise, good, faithful steward. Because as the story continues on, we see that once he finally gets to the house, Rebecca takes him back to the house of her family. And when he's there, he's offered to sit down and to eat. Now, if you just traveled 600 miles, this would be a very inviting invitation. This would sound good, because for 600 miles, there's no Denny's along the way. He's not waking up in the morning and saying, hey, before we get started, let's stop off and get a hot coffee at Speedway. There's no Burger King's, there's no Dairy Queen's. This is roughing it for 600 miles. And when he finally gets to the house of Rebecca, they say, please, come, sit, and eat. I'd be thinking, yep, put it all in front of me because I'm going to consume it all. But listen to exactly. This is what the good steward does. Verses 32 and 33. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels, provided straw to feed the camels, and water and wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told you about my errand. They said, speak on. This is making the good, faithful steward makes the Lord's will his priority. In this life, it is easy to get our priorities confused. That's what life does. The good, wise, faithful steward remembers the priorities of the Lord. And he remembers those priorities as he's managing the things that the Lord has entrusted to him. Here's a real simple, obvious example. I've been in ministry for 30-some years. I've known a lot of pastors and a lot of people in ministry. And I will tell you, there's been a lot of good men that I have seen that they forgot the priorities. It's God first, family second, everything else third. But in doing the work of the Lord and serving the Lord, which sounds like it should be a priority, well, I'm making this a priority because I'm serving the Lord. But what happens is they got their priorities wrong. And that God didn't become the primary. And their time with God wasn't spent. And as a result, they were weak and they became vulnerable. And they didn't have power. And they didn't have that wisdom. I've seen other pastors and people of God that because their priorities weren't in order, they made their service a priority with their family. I know pastors whose children aren't even serving the Lord. We need to make sure that our priorities are right. It's one thing to make His will your will, but I need to make His will my priority. Otherwise, there's confusion. You know, this is why God continually, the Holy Spirit, there's rarely a week that goes by that the Holy Spirit isn't sternly reminding me. Spend time in the Word just to be with me. Because, look, I write devotionals every day. 5 days a week, I'm on the air giving a 15-minute devotional from the Word of God. And then I'm preparing the message that's here. And there's often other things that I'm doing as well. That's a lot of content. It's easy for me to be reading the Word with the mindset of finding material to share with others. While that's good, that's not the priority. My priority must always remain spending time in the Word just to spend time to be with Him. Otherwise, you're going to see the effects of it. And Donna's going to feel the effects of it as well. We have to make His will our priority, because it's easy to lose priority. If I want to be entrusted with more, if I want Jesus to make me the steward over more, I've got to make sure that my priorities are in order. That's the fourth quality that we see. Again, I got 10 more, but we're not going to go through those today. We might have a chance to look at some more of them next week. I don't know. We'll see where we go. There is more I do want to show with you, but I want to conclude this morning by going back to the verse that we looked at to start this whole thing off. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm going to look at verse 10, but I also want to read verse 11, and I want you to see them both from the Amplified Bible, because there's such power when you see the fullness of what's being said. So 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 in the Amplified Bible. As each of you has received a gift, great! Each of you has received a gift, a spiritual talent. As each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another, as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace, which is exemplified by His many-colored grace through each one of you with that individual gift and talent He's given you. Extremely many-sided, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. Whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes. You use that talent, that ability, that gift that He's given you, you can use it with His power. Remember, we saw earlier, it's Jesus. It's a gift that is given to you through Jesus, but it's empowered through you by Jesus. With the strength that God furnishes abundantly, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ the Messiah. I want to be a wise steward, so that as I utilize that gift, individual spiritual talent that He has given me, Jesus is glorified, because I have chosen to be a wise steward over what He's given to me. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. So be it. That is an awesome truth. As we start looking at this brand new year, that's why I wanted us to start off by looking at stewardship and how we are His stewards and what it means to be His stewards. So last week we looked and we saw that we are made to be stewards over that which He's entrusted to us in this natural world. He's made us stewards over this life and everything that pertains to this life. He's made us stewards over those things that He's entrusted to us from the spiritual realm. Revelation and understanding of the Word of God and a deeper understanding into His mind, into His special purposes. Now today we've also seen that He has made us stewards of the individual gifts and spiritual talents that He has entrusted to each one of us. My duty. Last year we looked at this and it was, the duty is ours, the results are Him. My duty is to be a wise steward. My duty is to be a wise steward of the things that Jesus has entrusted to me, so that Jesus can entrust more to me. Because as a wise steward, I realize Jesus wants to entrust into me everything that He has planned to give to me to manage for His glory and His dominion forever and ever. These are the results, glorified results that have dominion forever and ever. These are the results that come from you and I just being wise stewards of this life, of the spiritual, and of the individual gifts that He's given to us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You and I praise You that You have given each one of us. You've, out of Your grace, even though I was lost in sin, out of Your grace, You made me the steward of this life and all that pertains to it. I'm amazed. I'm humbled. And I'm thankful. I thank You that there's not a day that goes by that You don't entrust to me revelation of Your Word and the deeper knowledge of Your things. And I know that is true. Both of those things are true for every one of us. And for each one of us, You've entrusted to us a specific, particular spiritual gift or talent. It is our desire that You shine through that individual gift and talent. You shine that through through the color of each one of us, that we glorify you. This is our desire. Help us, Holy Spirit, show us even more ways to be wise stewards of everything you've entrusted to us, that we can glorify you. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We do know that during that time of Jesus celebrating Passover with his disciples, he fulfilled the Passover, but he also did this. He established the Lord's Supper. And he said to do this in remembrance of me. Every time that we share the cup and we break the bread, we do it in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. I mean, think about it. We talked earlier about we have been set free from the bondage of slavery, of sin, because of his precious blood. Every time we do this, we should remember. I mean, think about what he did. Jesus was showing his disciples and showing us, this is what I'm going to do. My blood is going to be shed so that you can once again have a relationship with the Father. And then once having that relationship, because my body was broken for you. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the bread. Bread is the Word. He is the Word. So his body was broken so that we would understand and have the power of every promise of his word. Why? Because he's given us that reestablished, that right, proper relationship once again with the Lord. So we're going to partake today. But as we do, I want you to remember this as well. I mean, rejoice in what he has done, but also think about this. And let him just speak to you as you do. But remember this. From the day of your salvation till the day we leave these bodies, Jesus has granted us that dispensation, that special period of time management. He's entrusted us to be stewards of everything he's given to us. Think about that and how. Let him speak to you individually about the gift he's given and how we can be better stewards over everything he's entrusted to us, to his glory. Amen.